I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. I recently saw a post on Facebook explaining why Finland's school system is considered the best in the world. It says we pay our teachers like doctors. Students enjoy over an hour of recess, and there's no mandatory testing, the opposite of what America does. From the outside, it sounds kind of idyllic. But there's not much in the way of details, and you don't get a sense of the actual experience of the students themselves. Well, one journalist, Amanda Ripley, decided to look at the top-ranked school systems in the world, Finland, South Korea, and Poland, through the eyes of American exchange students. She wrote about what she found in the new book, The Smartest Kids in the World.
Finland is really the utopia of the world in education right now, and nobody's entirely sure why. Korea is an example of a pressure cooker model that's very common in Asia, where students work incredibly hard to get the results they get. Poland is really exciting and interesting because they've dramatically improved their results in the past 10 years, despite having significant levels of child poverty.
Now, exchange students aren't exactly representative of most American public school students, but they did provide you with this exceptional view of other countries' education systems. What kind of things were they telling you?
They found that the schools were very old-fashioned. They didn't see the technology that they had in their American schools, the fancy digital whiteboards on the wall, the laptops or iPads, even in countries like Korea that are extremely wired and advanced compared to the U.S.
Let's go to Poland and hear from the exchange student you were working with there. His name is Tom. He's an 18-year-old from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And here he's reflecting upon the technology in his classroom back home.
It's not a question of how much technology we have in the classroom, because all of my classes, we do have laptops, and in all of my classes, we use smart boards. And what do kids do on their laptops? They play flash games, and smart boards don't work all the time. And if they do, then you're not doing anything that you wouldn't do on a chalkboard.
Now, you cited, Amanda, an amazing statistic in your book. The U.S. is one of the largest spenders per pupil in the classroom. So what exactly are we spending all this money on?
The U.S. is the third largest spender per student on K-12 education. Anecdotally, we know that the U.S. seems to invest more in classroom technology, none of which tends to consistently produce returns and learning. And so it was interesting to see that the emphasis in these classrooms in Poland and Finland and Korea was more about rigorous learning and less about, you know, shiny objects.
Right. Do they have shiny objects in Korea, Finland, and Poland?
There are certainly schools that are more high-tech than others, but anecdotally, people, including myself, who have visited many of these schools, the facilities are really an afterthought compared to the teachers.
Let's go back to Finland. Here's Kim, who's 15 years old. She's from rural Oklahoma, and she spent a year in Finland.
I've never had a teacher here where I would say, oh, that's the mean teacher, that's the teacher who's so-and-so. Whereas in the U.S., I feel like there are teachers who I have no idea why they went through the trouble of getting a degree. They genuinely do not seem to like being there.
So from technology to the actual teachers themselves, is that the secret, Amanda, the teachers, as Kim says?
The United States has some amazing teachers. I surveyed hundreds of students who came to the U.S. as well, and they raved about how friendly and interactive their teachers were. But it is true that the top-performing countries in the world are all much, much more selective about who gets to even attempt to become a teacher, to study education in colleges, which has a lot of implications, including the signals it sends to kids and parents and politicians about how serious this profession is and how serious the country is about education.
Finland actually closed its teaching colleges. How did that help?
In the late 1960s, as part of a larger reform, Finland shut down all of its education colleges and moved them into the top 8 most elite universities in the country. People here, when you try to say we should raise the bar for getting into education college, people say, well, you're going to end up losing diversity among teachers. And the same argument was made in Finland, interestingly. It wasn't racial diversity, but it was about geographic diversity. There was a real fear that there would be no rural candidates for teaching. So what they found is that eventually that was not the case. When you make a profession more serious, more prestigious, and better paid, you tend to get more diverse candidates who want to be part of it, particularly men, I should note.
Right. Interesting. South Korea, it's a different story from Finland, what you call the pressure cooker model. Let's listen to a clip from Eric, who transferred from one of the best high schools in Minnesota to spend his year in South Korea.
In Korean high school, home and school intersect constantly. If you're at home, you're either studying, eating, or sleeping. If you're at school, you're studying, eating, or sleeping. So many students sleep during class because they don't have time to sleep at home.
They're working hard, but is that really being held up as a recipe for success?
It's not working smart, that's for sure. And no one in Korea advocates that the United States should try to use Korea as a model. There are pieces of that model that are incredibly compelling. One of the things that Eric, the student I followed from Minnesota, noticed was how much more interesting math was in his Korean school. Mm. Math is taught in a more holistic way, so you're actually making the connections between trigonometry and calculus and geometry, as opposed to learning them all separately and never understanding what they're for, you know?
Right. So, Amanda, when you pull back from everything you did and you saw and you researched this past year, what surprised you? I mean, what did you really take away?
Rigor matters. All these countries came to a consensus that it was desperately urgent to get serious about education. And that means the parents prioritize helping kids learn at home as opposed to just showing up at school for events and activities and sports. That means making it very competitive to become a teacher and demanding more of kids and overestimating rather than underestimating what they're capable of.
Amanda Ripley, her book, The Smartest Kids in the World, is out this month. Amanda, great to meet you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Marco. I appreciate it.